The Boy Who Set His Mind Free. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. The Boy Who Set His Mind Free. Wouldn't we all love to set our minds free and soar into the imagination of wonder and magic? Well, a young man did just that, Taylor Wilson. He's a boy from Alabama and from California. But he's a boy who is a very blessed boy. He's a genius, as we all really are. And his brother is a genius. But this boy, when he was 4 years old and 5 years old and 6 and 7 years old, he was a creative young man. He always wanted to know. He wanted to know information. He wanted to know about things. And he had a brain that he believed in. And his brain absorbed information like a sponge. But his brain also knew things. It could correlate the information that it got and make it all into an intelligible pattern. And he played with Fusion, F-U-S-I-O-N, which is a rather remarkable thing. Few people can do that, even adults can't even understand it and make sense out of it, but he did. This boy, at the age of 17, created a fusion plant that was so magnificent that he built his own reactor. Now, these things are fabulous in themselves, and they're marvelous in themselves, and they're exciting to know about and exciting to hear about. But the most exciting thing to me is, here's another evidence of a mind that would not allow itself to be tied up in knots, not allow itself to be limited, and who was blessed, sincerely blessed, by having parents who guided him into his magical world of understanding science, into his magical world of creativity and imagination. Most parents, when their children get to take the family watch apart or something of that nature, they right away get very upset and very unhappy about it. They say, what have you two done? You've destroyed this, you've destroyed it. Well, his parents were different. His parents had no background in science, had no background in all of these marvelous things, but they did have a background in appreciating their sons, one 3 years younger than the other, appreciating their sons as magnificent beings. And one son is the scientific genius, the other son is a mathematical genius, 3 years younger than the other son. Now, how fantastic, how utterly fantastic. Now, as this young Taylor was so interested in the things he was doing, he would oftentimes do things that might have been a little disastrous for himself because he did not know the whole story. But his parents helped him to know the whole story. They helped him to research things, to go into informational sources on the internet, and to go into Wikipedia and Google and understand all the details of the things he was working on. But he, this young genius, had the ability to put together the ideas that he read and learned and studied and knew to accomplish the goals that he had. And he had no budget for it. He had to get from the scrapyards and get from the junkyards and get from wherever he could items that would help to make the things he did. But he apparently, and not only apparently, he had a lovely personality. Because even his dying grandmother, who had cancer and then remission of it, and then it came back again. And his grandmother would talk with the boy. And she had urine that had in it the type of thing that was just what he was looking for, radioactive materials, because she was taking chemotherapy and other things. And she gave him some of her urine so that he could analyze it and study it and know what to do with it. And then she coughed up some of the cancer cells that were in her body and gave him some of them so that he could study them and do research into the areas that he was interested in knowing, because he wanted to help his grandmother and he wanted to help future humanity who suffered from these cancerous diseases, how to put cancer at bay. He was interested in these things. And what a creative mind to do such a thing like that. Every one of us would be, ugh, no way do we want anything to do with that. No way. But for him, a pure scientific analyst, working at the age of 12, the age of 13, studying these things, understanding these things, listening to these things, turning within himself to the divine concepts within himself to know that all knowledge dwelt within him, all reason, all balance. And he had to live in a society. He had to live in a world of people. And because he lived in a world of people, and lives in a world of people, he had to learn to be cooperative with them. He had to learn to be harmonious with them. There's no comparison here, but there is a bit of a comparison. As Jesus was at the age of 12, and he talked to the rabbis in the synagogue and discussed with them the very deep concepts of metaphysics that the rabbis were teaching. And Jesus knew these concepts. He knew them from within himself. He had that inner wisdom that knew it. So this young tailor, he went and spoke with people and talked with people on subjects of his interest. And because he was so remarkably intelligent, because he was so remarkably aware of all of the information that was in the relative field, these men took him on as mentors and worked with him and guided him and helped him, until finally he was able to go to a special school for children who were remarkable, who were geniuses. Both he and his brother went to this school and did marvelous things. Now, is he an unusual person? Yes, he's unusual because he's fortunate. He had parents who encouraged him to be the genius he is. All children are geniuses. All children are remarkable. All children have within them that curiosity, that wonder, that magic, that desire to know. And not many parents have the ability to encourage that curiosity in an intelligent and practical way. His parents were not always right in the way in which they encouraged him, but they gave him as much as they could, as much as they could understand. And his mother often accompanied him on his forays, looking for things to do and things to be and things to buy. And, you know, he is sort of an unusual young man, because at the age of 16, when every young person in the United States immediately wants to get their driver's license, he didn't have time for that. He had his mother drive him around, or friends drive him around. His mind was too interested in details of scientific interest. And that's what he pursued. That's what he looked for. And that's what he found. But he found this only because all along the way, he was being encouraged to be in his scientific realm, be in his scientific thing. Like most geniuses who are expressing themselves in one way or another, this young man, when he was in school, both he and his brother found the schoolwork boring, not because it was unnecessary, but because they were so advanced in their thinking. They were going 100 miles an hour while the class was going 50 miles an hour. And the class was going well for the average student. And unfortunately, education is designed for the average or below average student, so that everyone has an opportunity to have an understanding. It's so fortunate that a couple had decided to fund a school for geniuses in Arizona, I believe, and they funded this school and made it available for young people who are really top drawer. And in that school, you walk through the halls and you find these children, these kids, these young people with their minds on absolute genius topics, thinking and talking about ideas that boggle the average adult and certainly make the genius people in industry and business who have an opportunity to talk to them or know these young people feel a camaraderie, because these young people are touching upon things that they too want to do. Now, the great people in our world, the great people in our society, are not the people who are the average people. They are the mundane average people. They're the people, the great people are those who think beyond the box. They think outside of all the limitations that they've been given and all the limitations that they've had all through the years. They know that it can be done. Just as Leonardo da Vinci designed a helicopter, he designed flight with flapping wings. And these flapping wings were what he had visualized as a way. Well, as of the science of flight progressed, it was found that solid wings with the wind flowing across it by having engines that were making the wind do this was causing the flight and controllable flight much more realistic and pliable. And so as scientists had to step outside of whatever the early thinkers did, the early thinkers challenged them into the concept, and the scientists stepped from that beyond it. And we'll be speaking about another genius, a genius who helped develop a new heart. And the heart is based upon a totally different principle, a totally different principle than had been used all of the years that artificial hearts have been in existence. This boy is doing things that are totally different because he's thinking about them. He's not thinking of the limitations. He's thinking of the opportunity for using information and using techniques that have never been tried before. And so as we train ourselves, it's not too late. It's not too late for each of us to begin to train ourselves to be out of the box, to think more generously, more wonderfully, more fantastically than we ever did before. We have the ability. We have the brain. And the brain has access to infinite knowledge, the infinite knowledge of the universe, the mind of the universe, the mind, which is the mind of the creative cause that brought all into being. We have access to that. Now, that creative cause has within it all ideas that ever were, ever will be, and ever could be. And we want to tune into it. Taylor tuned into it. He tuned into it beautifully. And this beautiful story that's written about him in the March issue of Popular Science is an outstanding expression of a metaphysical concept carried to the ultimate. Taylor Wilson is an unusual person, but should we go to that school where he trained and find out from those other students there what they're doing and how they're thinking, we would immediately go to a source, a fountain of magical thinkers, of people who believe everything can be done. If they have a concept of a dream or a thought, or if they have a concept of any idea, scientific or metaphysical, they have the desire to step inside to that mental apparatus, the brain moving into the mind, the universal mind, and drawing upon that wisdom to give them all the knowledge that they need for whatever project comes to their mind. We're having all sorts of things come to our mind. Whoever thought of taking the sun and using it as a source of energy? Oh, many people have done this over the years and over time, but it took a while before they finally came up with the solar paneling and other ways of using energy in an efficient, positive way. There are many other ideas that the Einsteins of this world, the geniuses of this world, the scientific masters of this world, are bringing forth and bringing out into the world for everyone to see and everyone to follow and everyone to know and everyone to live. Well, this is something that you and I can do. This is something that we can be aware of. This is something that we can enjoy. And as we enjoy it, we find out that it's the most normal thing in the world. We can find out that it's the most exciting thing that we could ever imagine doing. And we can do it. We can do it. We're the ones who know what really works. We're the ones that really understand these things. This boy at the age of 13, working on radioactive items and working with his grandmother, is a magical child, a magical being. But he's something very, very special. He's something who has been guided and gifted, something who has moved into a most exciting way. We can move into that most exciting way if we want to. We can find our life to be a fulfilling example of all that is good and all that is beautiful. But to find this fulfilling example, we have to let go of all the old ideas that were limiting us. We have to let go of all the old thoughts that told us that it couldn't be done. We have to not perhaps even have them in the first place, but let go of any limitation. We must be as a little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we're told. Well, certainly this young man is entering into his state of inner wisdom. He has made a connection between himself and the creative cause of the universe. He is one with this magnificent awareness. And you and I, we can do that too. We can totally understand that too. We can totally realize that too. And as we realize it, we come up with something most exciting, most remarkable. Yes, we can have the charisma of the tailor. We can have the charisma of an Einstein. Einstein didn't do well in school. He didn't do well at his work. He didn't do well at many things because his mind was working on levels of consciousness that hadn't even been conceived of by humanity at that point. And the same with other great beings, other great minds, other great persons who have tapped into the universe. Mozart was certainly one who tapped into the universe and brought forth the music that he did. It was not this man, Mozart. It was not this human being, Mozart. It was the divine being, Mozart, who listened to the music within him and wrote it down. It was a divine being, Einstein. It was a divine being, Leonardo da Vinci. It was a divine being of all of these early artists who drew scientific conceptions that were years to come. This young man, he lives what he believes. Oh, I'm sure he has his struggles at times. I'm sure he has people who don't understand him. But his parents do, and that's a great blessing for him. His parents are successful people and enjoying their life and enjoying their world and helping their son to accomplish the goals that he has. And he doesn't even know his goals. All he knows is he wants to think deeper into every possibility that comes to his mind. And if any opportunity comes to his mind, he is there studying it, learning from it, listening to it. And when he talks with the masters, when he talks with the great intellectual wizards who are into the fields of science that he is engaging in, he is, as the Christ child, speaking with them. They can understand him. They can be amazed by the brilliance of his thoughts, by the awareness, by the knowledge that he has. And how could anyone have absorbed that much knowledge? Well, he did. He absorbed it because he does not tell himself it can't be done. He only tells himself it is done. For every genius that the world has to offer, and that's every single person in the world, if we can step out of the box, if we can step outside of the format that we have been given, the format that we've been told is where we must operate, and realize that we step into the divine reality within us, the mind within us that's universal, all-knowing, all-wisdom, and use it, and just think our impossible thoughts, think our unbelievable concepts that make the world go round. And as we think these things, we empower them to be something very remarkable. How many want that? How many say, oh, it just can't be done. Oh, it's beyond me. Oh, I don't know. And then when someone comes along and says, I know that I know that I know the divine in me is the answer. I know that I know that I know in me is the answer. I know that I know that I know. When anyone comes along and proclaims this bit of truth and trains themselves to be aware, alert, if we don't connect ourselves to the universal electrical system, we won't have that power to operate on. It's always there. It's always there for us to be aware of and operate on and enjoy and use. But if we don't plug into it, if we don't say, I know that I know, if we don't believe what we receive as inspiration, illumination, guidance, if we don't follow it, if we're not excited about it, then it will lie fallow and be nothing for us. And someone else will come along at some time and take the dreams that we have been gifted with but not followed through on, and take those dreams and follow through on them and make something out of it for themselves. It doesn't matter what your age is. You can be a little child. And being a little child is even good, except that the world looks at you and says, you can't do those things, and denies you the opportunity. Or when you're an old person and you let go of all the limitations that you had before, because what it doesn't make any difference. You're going to try it out. You're going to do these things. Grandmothers who jump out of airplanes and parachutes for the first time in their life, they would have done it earlier if the world had allowed them. But because they were grandmothers, they could do that. Now, are you ready to make this jump, this leap into faith, this leap into the imagination you have within you, the soaring, dreaming swimming underneath the water without any oxygen, eating, not eating, drinking, not drinking, levitation, teleportation, all of these silly, silly things that science has yet to prove. And when you do that, you'll be thought of as a fool, but yet you'll do it. You'll do it because it's your nature to be all that you can be. So let go today and join me being all that you can be, and be it now. Join the Taylor Wilsons of this age and delight in that new wisdom. I love you. I love you. I love you.